from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast, episode 60 of season number 3. Hope fades away for the 2024 Cubs. Don't forget to listen, download, review. Most importantly, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on the socials, Fly W670 on Twitter, Instagram. We are also on Facebook, or you can email us at flythew670@gmail.com. Well, Crowley, that homestand did not exactly go as we had hoped. After the All-Star break, you played the Diamondbacks, you played the Brewers, two teams that are in front of you. You played them at home. Obviously, the D-backs took 2 out of 3 for the Cubs, and the Brewers have now done the same.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, that's why the title hope fades for the Cubs. I mean, you know, they're only 3.5 back. Well, if they have 5 back, maybe this, maybe that, you know, who was it? Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
At this point right now, they've given you enough of a sample size that, you know, I remember Jed talking about, oh, you know, the offense can't be this bad the whole season. Well, it's looking pretty much like it at this point. You know, you had that stretch where you thought maybe gave you a little bit of hope where when they had that 5-2 road trip against Baltimore, St. Louis to end this, you know, the first half or before the All-Star break. And you were hoping that offense, the one that was hitting with runners in scoring position and having good at bats and making contact when they needed to, that finally there was going to be a turnaround. And in a point where you really needed to make a mark this homestand, they absolutely completely just did as bad as you could possibly do.
Right. And that was something that we harped on all last year in this podcast, all through season 2. It was runners in scoring position, runners in scoring position, runners in scoring position. And it is, honestly, Crowley, it might be worse this year than it was last year.
It is actually, they didn't do horrible with runners in scoring position last year. They finished 5th. This year, they're about 28th, 29th, roughly in that category. You know, and that's really the big difference here with this team is they just cannot score. They are absolutely, when it comes down to it, with runners in scoring position, the only team worse than them is the White Sox, which are going to go down as one of the worst teams in history. So just to, you know, that's the only team you're better than. That's it. And that's pretty pathetic.
Right. And in the other part, they can't beat anybody in the division. What are they now? 13-23 inside the division? 13-23?
Dustin, the last time they won a division series was in May, against the Brewers in the beginning of May. So we're almost here at the end of July, and they haven't won a division series since. So, you know, it's like I said, any hope that you had that, well, maybe the third wild card spot. I mean, I think it's time we got to start getting realistic.
And now it's not even a soft buy. It might be really a hard sell.
You know, it's just, to me, I just don't think they have a lot.
If anybody wants, exactly. I mean, we had a question this morning on the pick 6, okay? And one of the questions was about who is the most likely reliever to be traded and who is the reliever that nobody would want. And after today, we had 3 different answers. What do you think the three relievers were that we thought would be traded? And believe it or not, we had Mully Haw and I had 3 different answers.
I would say Leiter. I would say Neris. Merriweather?
Close. Smiley instead of Merriweather.
Okay.
Right? Smiley instead of Merriweather. And then I said Hayden Wisniewski. Now, I don't know if he's really hurt or if he's just hurt because he's been stinking so badly, giving up so many home runs and so many walks. So I had said Hayden Wisniewski for a guy that nobody would want because he hasn't proven that he can do much of anything at this point. But and after today, why in the world would you want Hector Neris? What in the world, Hector? What in the world would you get back for Hector Neris?
I mean, Neris has been decent lately. He's been pretty good actually today.
But he was terrible today. He was awful today. They gave him the ball to get a hold, and he was awful.
I mean, William Contreras is a really good hitter. It's not like, I mean, the thing that always
then walk him, Crowley. Then walk him. Okay, if he's that good. and he's that dangerous, then walk him. You sound like, no disrespect, you sound like Craig Counsell right now. Well, he's a good hitter. Oh, he's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. He made it. Finally, today after the game, Craig was like all in on, we just can't have this on offense. We're just not hitting. Finally.
I would say that when you have a guy like Hector Neris, he has a track record. If you take a look at his last 10 outings, they've been really good. He gave up a single to Perkins. And then he gave up the double to William Contreras. Those things are going to happen. In general, he's been pitching well. I'm just saying, if you're a contender, and let's say you're just looking for bullpen depth, he's a piece that you could definitely want. I could see
that. All right.
Not going to cost you the farm.
I know. I'm off track. I've thrown us off track. But I had to get that off my chest. All right. Game number one: Javier Assad, Tobias Myers. This was Monday night.
Yeah, and the Cubs actually won this one 3-1. Assad was making his second start since coming off the IL. It really wasn't the start he was looking for. He had a ton of traffic on the base pass, a lot of them because of walks. In the first, he gave up a one-out double to William Contreras, and with two outs, walked Willy Adames. But Sal Frelick grounded out to end the threat. In the third, Javier got the first two batters out, but then walked the bases loaded. Once again, Sal Frelick grounded out to end the threat. Bottom of the third, the Cubs offense took advantage of some uncharacteristic mistakes by the Brewers. Remember on the last podcast, we said the Brewers had the fourth best defense. Didn't look like it in the third inning. Miguel Amaya hit a hard hit ball right to Willy Adames that kicked off his glove. It was scored a hit, Dustin. I don't know what a hit and what an error is anymore. I mean, the ball is right at him. I mean, a hometown score, I've heard about it before, but it wasn't like it was like a 91 mile per hour, you know, right at him, but it wasn't like 112 or I don't know. Looked like an E6 to me, but with PCA batting, starting pitchers Tobias Meyer kind of caught his cleat on the mound in his delivery. He kind of fell over. So that, I think they said, was the easiest balk call ever, right? Amaya goes to second, PCA flies out, Nico popped out. But with two outs, who else but Michael Bush hits a clutch two-out single to score Amaya, and the Cubs were up 1-0. As negative as things are, maybe Michael Bush is the answer to their first base problem because he's looked really good.
He has looked good. I have to give him props. But again, still, Michael Bush is not like, he's not a guy that's going to carry you, right? He's a really nice piece, but he's not a superstar. He doesn't carry you to a division. He doesn't carry you through a month. He's a complimentary player, kind of like Seiya Suzuki, a complimentary player, not a star. Ian Happ, a complimentary player, not somebody that's going to carry you. Cody Bellinger, maybe, but then again, maybe not.
2023 Cody Bellinger.
Okay, 2023, okay, right.
Not 2024 Cody Bellinger. 2024 no. Cody Bellinger is not as bad as he was before he came to the Cubs, but he wasn't what we were expecting, and that's part of the reason that this team has struggled so much is you didn't get the pop that you were expecting from Cody Bellinger.
Right.
You know, more problems for Assad in the fourth. With one out, he walked two more batters, and his day was done. Drew Smyly was first out of the bullpen. He gave up a single to Garrett Mitchell, but the slow-footed Rhys Hoskins was the lead runner, couldn't score. But once again, bases loaded, only one out. Smyly got Bryce Train to ground out to first. Michael Bush threw home to get Rhys Hoskins on the force out for the second out of the inning. And then William Contreras grounded out, and once again, the Brewers left them loaded. For Assad, he only went 3 1/3 innings pitch. He gave up only one hit, but Dustin, 6 walks in less than 4 innings of work with 2 Ks.
Yeah, that's not good. That's really not good. So when you're talking about potentially trading Jameson Taillon, you better be sure that you've got somebody that can take that third pitcher in your rotation spot, because at this moment, I would not be comfortable with Javier Assad being the third or even the fourth guy in the Cubs rotation.
No, he hasn't looked good since coming back from injury, and hopefully they can figure it out, but a little bit nervous. In the bottom of the fourth, again, the Brewers defense had some problems, and another funky play by a pitcher would lead to a Cubs run. With one out, Mike Tauchman reached on a single. Then Dansby Swanson hit a chopper back to Tobias Myers. We've seen this a million times. He rushed the throw on the trying to get that double play to second. He threw it into right field. And so now Tauchman moves to third on the air. Miles Mastroboni struck out. With two outs, Miguel Amaya walked to load the bases. With the ice-cold PCA up to bat and two outs, Tobias Meyer threw a wild pitch that bounced before home plate.
Wild pitch.
William Contreras' chest protector. Talkman scores to make it 2-0. Ian Happ would hit a solo home run to increase the Cubs' lead to 3-0. But Dustin, when we talk about this series and the lack of offense, this is the game that they won. Two of the runs that they scored were gift runs by the Brewers. It doesn't happen without that balk.
They don't. That is a very unusually sloppy played game by them. That is not what you typically see from the Brewers at all.
No, we talked about the Cubs bullpen in the last episode, and they were once again fantastic in this game. With the Sox short outing, it was up to the pen to cover 5 2/3 inning. Smiley pitched an inning and 2/3 scoreless. Tyson Miller scoreless inning. Mark Leiter is looking dominant. Porter Hodge gave up a leadoff home run to William Adames in the eighth, but that's the only hit he gave up. And then Hector Neris closed out in the ninth as the Cubs won this one 3-1. Neither team did well with runners in scoring position. The Brewers were 1-for-9 and left 10 men on base. Their one hit with runners in scoring position did not even score a run. The Cubs weren't much better, going 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Only one of those hits scoring a run, and they left 7 men on base. But like I said, Milwaukee gifted the Cubs that win.
All right, so the Cubs are leading the series 1-0. You're feeling really good about that. Jameson Taillon, who we haven't seen since the break, is going in game number 2. And this one gets hit with a 80-plus minute rain delay.
Right, and we wondered how Taillon would perform with more and more eyes on him. We know that people are scouting him, and he seems to be the Cubs' most valuable trade piece. J-Mo was cool as a cucumber. He pitched 7 1/3 innings. He gave up 1 run on 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He had some help from his defense in the 6th inning and a runner at third with 1 out. William Contreras hit one to Christopher Morel, who threw out the speedy Garrett Mitchell at home to keep the Brewers off the scoreboard. Taillon was still in the game when Jake Bauer singled the lead off the inning. Then Jackson Churio followed that up with a single that he tried to stretch into a double. PCA with a nice throw, and Nico tagged him out. Taillon's night was done, and Julian Merriweather made his return from the pen. He struck out the first batter he faced for the second out of the inning, but Bryce Terang singled, and the Brewers were up 1-0. Now, Colin Ray was the starter for the Brewers. He pitched 5 scoreless innings. Cubs had their chances in the bottom of the second and 2 outs. Swanson and Amaya singled, and PCA walked to load the bases, but Nico grounded out to end the threat. In the bottom of the 5th, 2 outs, Nico hit a ground rule double. Michael Bush walked, but Seiya struck out to end the inning. The 8th strikeout of the game for Rea. Cubs didn't do much in the 6th and 7th, but now trailing 1-0 in the 8th, the Cubs tried to mount a comeback. Nico Horner hit a leadoff single, but then Craig Counsell pinch hit Patrick Wisdom for Michael Bush. Counsell was looking for the lefty-righty matchup, and Wisdom hit the ball hard, 386 feet with an exit velocity of 104 miles per hour, but it was just a loud out, and Seiya flied out for the second out. Ian Happ singled, and Christopher Morel walked below the bases, and Counsell once again went with that lefty, with a righty-lefty matchup. He went David Bote for Mike Talkman. My mind went straight to that walk-off grand slam Bote hit against the Nationals in was 2018, but it didn't happen. Bote flying out to center, and for the second time in the game, the Cubs could not get a hit with the bases loaded. Cubs had one last chance come back in the 9th. Swanson led off with a single. Master Bone flied out. Swanson stole second base, so that just one hit would get tie the game, but PCA struck out, and Nico grounded out, and the Cubs would be shut out for the 9th time this season, losing 1-0. Once again, Dustin, they only had 7 hits, 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position, left 10 men on base.
Can we go back a little bit, Crowley? I didn't want to interrupt you. You were on a roll, but can we go back to the 2 pinch hitting things in the 8th inning? David Bote and Patrick Wisdom.
Right.
I mean, are you overthinking it a little bit too much? I mean, you know, David Bote did give it a ride. I'll give it that. But I'm not quite so sure about. I mean, gosh, Patrick Wisdom hasn't gotten any at bats lately. Nothing at all. And Michael Bush, arguably, I'm guessing when we get to the hot knot, Michael Bush is probably on the hot as far as the Cubs go, because the offense isn't doing a whole hell of a lot. So if Michael Bush isn't on it, I don't know who the hell is. I just can't imagine taking the bat away from Michael Bush in that situation. I would love to see the metrics on that situation. You know what I mean? I just that was one where I think it just got a little too clingy to the numbers. How about get a guy? How about get a runner in motion? How about try to move things around a little bit? How about get a little aggressive on the base pass instead of taking the bat out of your arguably best hitter in July for sure, and that's Michael Busch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you take a look at it, it was the lefty that was throwing up there was Jared Coing, and he kind of throws a little bit sidearm. I could see why the righty would have a better view of it. It just, again, Patrick Wisdom hasn't had a lot of chances. And then I don't think anyone's going to argue about, I think Mike Talkman's okay, but I think David Bodie wasn't a bad choice.
Yeah, I was happy that Talkman is back, but it doesn't, he's not Mike Talkman right now. He looks like 2 years ago, Mike Talkman. He looks like the guy that was able to land on the Cubs because he really had nowhere else to go. Right. He hasn't looked so good. And we're going to get into game three next. Right. That's the next game we're looking at. And Mike Talkman starts in center field for PCA. And right off the bat, there's an issue. Now, I think PCA catches the ball that Mike Talkman doesn't catch. And perhaps we're still playing right now. Maybe they're in the 17th inning or something. And the game's tied at two. But that one run in the first inning ends up being a big difference. So we got Justin Steele going for the Cubs in game number three, the rubber game afternoon affair. And the Brewers go with a bullpen day.
Yep, they go with the opener with Rob Zastrzyzny. Those of you remember that old school name. He was on the Cubs. He's on the 2016 Cubs. For those
yeah,
of you
I thought that. I recognized that name.
Yep, he's still kicking it around. And Justin Steele was looking for a bounce back outing. So Steele versus the bullpen game. You wanted a bounce back outing for Justin after that start against the D-backs. He didn't look so good, and it didn't look good to start at the beginning. Almost looked like deja vu from the first game he pitched against the Diamondbacks. He gave up two walks and a single in the first inning to load the bases. Jackson Churio hit an RBI single to put the Brewers up 1-0. Steele got Garrett Mitchell to hit in the force out with Michael Busch throwing out Rhys Hoskins at the plate, and Steele struck out Eric Hess to end the threat. But then Steele found his groove, sitting down the next 10 batters he faced. And like we said, you know, the Brewers go with the opener, Rob Zastrzyzny, and he didn't last long with two outs in the bottom of the first. Saya hits a double, and then Ian Happ continues to torture the Brewers. He hit an RBI single to tie the game at one. In the second, Dansby Swanson and Mike Talkman both singled. Zastrzyzny's day is done. And so Bryce Wilson comes into the game. Thomas Nito hit a sack bunt to move the runners to second and third with one out. But Miles Mastroboni struck out and Nico grounded out to strand the runners. Bottom of the third, Seiya Suzuki was given the green light on a 3-0 pitch. He blasts a solo homer to put the Cubs up 2-1. Bryce Wilson, though, did pitch four innings, gave up one run on four hits, no walks or strikeouts. Now, Steele ran into trouble in the sixth. He gave up back-to-back singles to Willie Adames and Jackson Churio. He struck out Garrett Mitchell, and then Craig Counsell came out and Steele's day was done. Some people thought it was an early hook. I don't know, Dustin, where you were at on that one.
Well, I mean, you could make that argument that it was a little bit of an early hook. What was he at, about 98, 96 pitches when they got right. him out of there? You know, listen, it didn't work out, right? I mean, if they would have left him in, I would have had a hard time getting after him about it. I'm sure I would have, but in hindsight, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not in love with Miller. I'm not. I don't like Miller products in general. If I'm talking about drinking beer, other than a High Life every once in a while, and I'm not in love with this pitcher.
You don't like Tyson Miller?
No, it just doesn't. I mean, he's just a guy that they seem to go to. I mean, let's put it this way: that was another game, Crowley, where you needed to win that game. If I were managing that team, I would have went with Mark Leiter Jr. there. And so I would have tried to have gotten five outs for Mark Leiter Jr. So I'd have brought Mark Leiter. If I was going to take the ball away from Justin Steele, my supposed ace when the season started, I would have went to Leiter there.
So when we take a look at Tyson Miller, in the last 30 games, he's appeared in 23 of them.
A lot of games.
24
and a third innings. Right? That's a lot.
He's only given up four earned runs. That's a 1.48 ERA in those 23 games.
I get it. It's low. I know, but like, Mark Leiter Jr.'s been there, done that. Again, they eventually got to find out if the kid can do it. I get all of that, but if you truly believe, you know, that you had 58 more games to go and you still had a chance to set your compass right, or 59 games, whatever the math is, I'm public school educated. Either way, I just wouldn't have gone with Miller in that situation. I would have went with Leiter.
All right, so Miller does come into the game, and Pat Murphy makes his move. He replaces Eric Haas with Jake Bowers, and it worked. Bowers singled to load the bases with one out. Now, Dustin, here we go again. You know, Murphy then pinch hit Bryce Turang for Andrés Montesario. Miller got Turang to a 1-2 count, and it looked to me like Miller struck him out. There was a check swing. I thought he went in front of the plate. It was ruled a no swing, and then Turang would single to tie the game. Miller got Perkins to ground into a forced out, and Miles Mastroboni made a nice throw to get Jackson Churio out in the plate, and Jose Ortiz flat out to end the threat. I feel like a check swing like that should be challengeable. I don't understand if the technology exists, why you can't use it. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Yeah. It just bothers me.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
After Seiya Suzuki's home run with one out in the third, the offense did next to nothing the entire rest of the game. They didn't have another base runner until the bottom of the sixth when Christopher Morel drew a two-out walk. Their only hit after Seiya's homer was a two-out single by Miles Mastroboni. He stole second, advanced to third on a throwing error by Gary Sanchez. But Nico Horner grounded out to end the threat. I want to say that was in the eighth inning. And so that takes us to the ninth. Hector Neris has been pitching really well. He comes into the game, gives up a leadoff single to Blake Perkins. Got Joey Ortiz to fly out. And as we said, William Contreras doubled to score Perkins, put the Brewers up 3-2. That would be the final score. The Cubs scored two runs on six hits. They were 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position and left five men on base. You were mentioning a little bit, you know, Craig Counsell, I don't know. You sit there, and he was definitely frustrated about the game, and so here's what he had to say afterwards.
Yeah, we just didn't do enough offensively.
Really?
You know,
okay.
We did a good job off the opener and had rallies first and second inning. And then their guys shut us down. I mean, it was very quiet. It was two or three hits the rest of the game, one walk maybe. So there's just wasn't any traffic, wasn't any really at bats to innings to put pressure on them, and it was just a light offensive day.
I mean, I just
a light offensive day. It was a light offensive homestand. Let's not sugarcoat it, okay? It wasn't just a light offensive day. It was a light offensive homestand.
Light offensive season, if you want. Let's just
if you really want to keep piling on, yes.
I mean, right. I agree. These answers are just kind of ridiculous. I mean, you're telling us what is clearly obvious. Why is the offense doing so bad? Why do you think that is? Why can you not get a hit when it counts? Why can't you hit any of these guys, you know? I mean, you're taking a look here offensively. The Cubs scored, you know, a total of, what, three runs against the Diamondbacks? Four runs against the Diamondbacks. They scored five runs against the Brewers. I mean, it's just not enough. I mean,
that's not.
You can't keep doing this. And, you know, I know people are frustrated, right? You know, they went 2-4 in those games. They scored only nine runs total, Dustin. And that's the second fewest in MLB since the All-Star break. Only the White Sox worse, which is all the Cubs can keep saying, right? I'm hearing plenty about fans that are mad at Jed, people questioning Craig Counsell, and I can understand with his post-game comments why they would do that. But in the end, you're going to have to look at these hitters, man. The numbers that they've put is awful, and it's just an underperforming offense. If they just had a mediocre offense, this team would still be in it. This team would be buyers right now if they had a mediocre offense.
And if they had a mediocre closer, they might be buyers right now, right? If they had a mediocre closer, somebody they give the ball to all the time in the ninth instead of this rotating carousel of bad that they've had all season.
You know, and again, we're 1 week away from the trade deadline when we're recording this, and now you got to go to Kansas City. Good luck.
One of the best teams in baseball, right? In the American League. Right.
There's a lot of questions that I have, but I hope at the end of this, Dustin, that at some point in time, Jed Hoyer is going to put on the big boy pants and say, you know what? I'm going to get the best damn player out there. I remember when the shortstop class was out there, Trey Turner. I wanted Trey Turner more than anything.
Yeah, but that was Trey Turner's wife more than anything. I don't blame the Cubs for that one, right? And again, listen,
money talk.
We ranked them and we thought that Dansby Swanson was the fourth best out of that group. He was paid like the fourth best out of that group. And I think if you combine 2 years together, he's played like the fourth best out of that group.
How nice would it be to have Shohei Ohtani? I mean, just asking. I mean, I know, You know, I just don't understand why with this market, with this fan base, with everything that we have to pay, I just don't understand. When was the last time that you feel that the Cubs really made a big splash and gotten that superstar? I don't remember it, Dustin.
Or they need to, or, you know, listen, they need to trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr., right? He's got a year of control left, and then go ahead and pay him if it works out. Go do that, right? That's not just for this year. That is this year and beyond. He can be your DH. He can be your everyday DH, and every once in a while you want to give Michael Busch a day off. You can play some first base for you.
Well, here's
maybe Michael Busch could play somewhere else. I don't know.
Here's what Jed had to say when he spoke to the beat writers before the Milwaukee series about this trade deadline.
Just to be clear, even if you are making moves for 25 and 26, are you still keeping playoffs this year as a goal?
I mean, yeah, we have 61 games left. I think that, you know, obviously, you know, if we have, you know, back-to-back months where we play like it we did in April, you know, that's a possibility. I mean, I think you never rule that, you know, you never want to rule that out, you know. I think that's kind of why I focus on saying, I think making moves simply. The only thing that I would say definitively at this point, and it's not that definitive because we could win seven in a row, but the only thing I would say definitively is that, like, I think making moves simply for 24, you know, given where we are, is probably not what we're going to do. But, you know, if there are moves that make sense that help us in 24, we would, you know, certainly look at those things. And, yeah, like, I do think the next 61 games are really important, you know. And, you know, my hope is that we continue the way we played going into the break. And, you know, obviously we didn't hit over the weekend, but, you know, my hope is that we can get back to playing offensively the way we did, you know, during that stretch where we started to get hits with guys in scoring position and started to score runs and came back in some games and, you know, just did some things that we hadn't seen in a while.
Well, we're still waiting, Jed. After the series, I can report back to you. Things didn't change. Carter Hawkins, by the way, 825 guest of Mully and Haw tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we can definitively say that the Cubs are not going to be buying. They are going to be selling or standing pat, and they played offensively, just not the way that Jed had hoped.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.